Good morning. This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Vermont Lake Monsters baseball is back, and Vermont's single-A affiliate team of the Oakland A's celebrates its 20th anniversary this year. The team will be playing this year in its newly renovated stadium in Burlington. Sports correspondent Andy Gardner is here to talk about what we can expect from the team that's gone through many changes over the years. And Andy, welcome.
Mitch, it's good to be back.
Now, let's talk first about the manager of the Lake Monsters. Rick Moniante is back for his third season as Lake Monsters manager. Is that right?
Yes, and that's a little bit unusual at this level. There's turnover fairly frequently in the front office, but this brings a level of consistency and continuity that he thinks is really going to pay off with these new kids he's got coming in for the first
time.
You've
spoken with him, and I think he was very frank in your discussions with him about being at this level at single A. He's not, you know, trying to leap to a higher level right away. He's really committed to this team, it seems.
He's very much sees himself as a teacher, and at the first grade level is how he likens it. These are the primary grades for these players, many of whom are 19, 20, 21 years old. This is their first step as professional ball players. And at this level in the New York Penn League, it's all about development and teaching you how to be a pro player. Wins and losses are important, but they're way down the priority list.
There's been quite a bit of movement with some of the players already. In fact, the guidelines, I understand, for signing bonuses have changed.
They created levels or slots for what draft picks could be paid in bonuses depending on what round they were taken in. This reduced the haggling and shortened the negotiations so that teams are able to sign their players a lot faster, which means they can get them into their extended spring training or get them into their minor league system faster and begin the process of trying to march them to the major leagues.
Centennial Field itself has been such a big story about this team over the years. I mean, on the one hand, it's one of the oldest fields. You know, it goes back so long to the early 1900s. But perhaps because of that, you know, it had a lot of problems. I mean, it was a field that was not really up to spec for a while, but now some major renovations have been done. Tell us a little about that. What can fans expect to see that's different?
Well, team owner Ray Pecor put $2 million of his own money into this, and he had to do it to bring the park up to major league standards, or else they were threatened with losing the franchise because the facility was just not first rate. So in this last off season, the biggest thing they did was install 1,500 hardback seats in the concrete wings that go down the first and third baseline. So no more sitting on the hard concrete. You'll have an actual seat. So that's a very, very visible. They've moved the backstop and the fences in to reduce the foul territory, and that's created 100 kind of box seats right behind home plate, which will be great vantage points. They've done some amenities in terms of the barbecue area down the left field line. They've created a pavilion down the right field line for some fan-friendly things. They've moved the bullpens out beyond the outfield fences instead of having them along the lines. So it's just going to be a lot more enjoyable experience for the fans. And the most expensive seat in the house is still going to be $8. So
yeah, that's a pretty good deal when you look around Major League Baseball, especially to bring a family to a game these days. And, of course, I think the biggest thing folks are going to notice maybe right away is that big new video scoreboard.
Yes, the video message board out beyond left field is going to give it a major league feel and really, I think, juice up the atmosphere for both the players and the fans.
It's interesting when you mention wins and losses maybe not being the primary thing here. I mean, it's fun for the fans to see the team win. You know, you'd like that. But this is a single A affiliate. So, you know, this is not players who are ready, really going to jump right to the major leagues and go to a team like Oakland. But there is a history in Vermont of having some players come through here that are very recognizable and went on to be real stars.
Well, Mitch, it goes back to the mid-80s when Vermont had a double-A franchise, first for the Cincinnati Reds with players like Barry Larkin, Paul O'Neill, Chris Sabo, and then one year with Seattle when Ken Griffey Jr. and Omar Vizquel came through. A couple players fans might want to look at this year is Chad Pinder, who was the 71st overall pick, all-conference shortstop from Virginia Tech. B.J. Boyd is a 19-year-old outfielder who was taken in the fourth round last year. They think he is going to be a very, very hot prospect down the road. And then there's an interesting story with pitcher Tyler Johnson, who pitched for Stony Brook, a rival of Vermont's in the America East Conference, who has the distinction of losing the last game to the Vermont team before it dropped its program in UVM. 2009. UVM, yes, yeah. In the America East playoffs. Tyler never actually played at Centennial before now because he was only a freshman when Vermont dropped the program. But now he's going to have a chance to see what it's like to play at Centennial.
You mentioned those AA affiliates back in the day, Seattle and Cincinnati. Now, did they go away because of the challenge of playing in Vermont? Such a short season, obviously, with the weather. I mean, what were the reasons those franchises didn't stick around?
That was a big part of it, Mitch. The season started in April, which obviously is not a good fit for Vermont. The fan base kind of fell off. Ownership was a kind of a carpet-bagging owner at the time. It wasn't a local owner like Ray Pecor, who really was invested in the community. When Ray brought in the New York Penn League, whose season starts in mid-June and ends 1st of September, it was a perfect fit.
I'll tell you what else. Who's got a better mascot than Champ? I mean, come on.
Lake Monsters it is, yes.
Andy Gardner is a former sports writer for USA Today and the Burlington Free Press, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Go out and see the Lake Monsters.
Support for sports reporting comes from the VPR Journalism Fund.